Bibles again with me to James chapter 2. Now, you and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that what James is teaching here in chapter 2 does not contradict the gospel. When he makes the statement, "Was not Abraham justified by works? Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works?" James is not teaching justification of the soul by works. He's teaching justification of our faith, the reality of our faith, the evidence of our truth, our faith, by works. Paul said in Romans 3:28, "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." And allow me to give you three vital truths in regard to this subject. Three vital truths. First is this: any duty or works that I do or you do toward God is exactly what we ought to do. That's what we ought to do. There's no merit or credit or praise to me in doing what I ought to do. These things you ought to do. And when we've done all that we ought to do, we're still unprofitable servants. So that's just so. I ought to pay what I owe. I ought to render to God what belongs to God. And I ought to do what I ought to do. So I take no praise or credit for doing what I ought to do. Like my friend Clemmy Coleman down in Madisonville, Kentucky. Someone said to her one day, You don't have to be in church every service, do you?" "No, I don't have to. But this is what I want to do. This is what I want to do. It's what I ought to do. And this is what I want to do. And I'm doing what I want to do." The second thing that I want you to see is this: any spiritual grace or fruit which is evident in me or you, any spiritual grace or fruit which is evident in us, is not the product of our fallen nature. It is the presence and fruit and the gift of God. It's called not our fruit, but His fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. So anything that I have, it's the gift of God. That's the reason Paul said, "Who makes you to differ? Who maketh thee to differ? What do you have you didn't receive?" Now, if you received it, if God gave it to you, if it's yours by grace, why would you glory? So anything that we do for the glory of God, we do what we ought to do. And then anything we do for the glory of God, we do it by His motivation and by His Spirit and by His grace. And the third thing: for any son of Adam, you know, Paul said about us sons of Adam, he said, "You have before been proven, Jew and Gentile, that you're all under sin, that there's none righteous, no, not one, that there's none that understandeth, that there's none that seeketh after God, that there's none good, no, not one." Now, that being established, to talk of acceptance with God or eternal salvation based in any measure or way on my works is not only ignorance is blasphemy. It's not only ignorance, it's blasphemy. Salvation of the Lord. It's of the Lord in its planning. It's of the Lord in its execution. It's of the Lord in its application. It's of the Lord in its sustaining power. It's of the Lord in its conclusion. Salvation of the Lord. So James here in chapter 2 is exhorting us to do what we ought to do. And here in chapter 2, verse 14, I want you just to go verse by verse here for a few moments. And James says, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can that faith save him? For a man to profess, whomever it may be, to have faith and to be saved, and have no works, no works of faith, no labor of love, no patience of hope, can that kind of faith save him? Can that kind of faith deliver him? If he says he's in the body, but he has no life, if he says that he's in the vine, but has no fruit, if he says he's in the family, but he has no inheritance, if he says he is free and yet he's in bondage, in slavery, this is religion in word only, not in deed. And it cannot save. What does it profit a man if he says, not does, but says, that he has faith and no works? Can that kind of faith save? And then James gives us an example in verse 15. This is an illustration that James gives to us on this subject. Now, if a brother or a sister, be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to him, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding, you don't give them those things which are needful to be warm and to be filled and for the body, what does it profit? He's saying here, suppose a brother or sister or family members without proper food or proper clothing or proper shelter, and one of us says to him, goodbye, depart in peace, keep yourself warm, keep yourself clothed, keep yourself well fed. I wish the best for you. God bless you. These are good words and good wishes, but not good works. If we do not supply those things which that person needs, what good have we done? Will words feed him? Will words clothe him? Will words warm him? Of course not. And a person is foolish to think that words alone will profit someone who's in need. And a man is foolish, a woman is foolish, who professes a religion that thinks that words, profession, and emotionalism will take the place of the life of Christ, or the love of Christ, or the grace of Christ, or the walk of faith. That's foolishness. That's foolishness. If any, Paul said this, if any provide not for his own kindred, his own family, his own brothers and sisters, if he provides not for his own, brothers and sisters, he has denied the faith, and he's worse than an infidel. A person who does not have good works, which is the result and evidence of good faith, is worse than an infidel. He's denied the faith. And that's what he says in verse 17, even so, faith, a profession of faith, a claim of faith, The creed of faith, name it, a doctrine of faith. Even so, faith, if it does not have works, is dead. What is this works? It's the fruit of the Spirit. The faith that does not have the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, kindness, to back it up, it's dead. It's like a dead body, a body without a soul. It's like a carcass without life. It's alone. One great old writer years ago made three statements, I think, so outstanding. Listen to this. The first one is this: faith without works, without good works, is useless. Even so, works without the life of Christ is useless, and called works of iniquity. Secondly, good works are not the cause of faith. Good works are the result of faith and the evidence of the life of Christ within us. Good works do not cause faith. God gives faith. Good works are the results of a life of faith that God gave us, a heart of faith. Thirdly, now watch this. Think carefully now. Good works, which men call good, and works which God calls good. There's two different kinds. But good works, which men call good, are not absolute proof of the presence of God or saving faith. A man may do good works and still not have faith, because good works are not absolute proof of faith. But I guarantee you this, he said, the absence of good works proves the absence of Christ. You understand what he's saying? A man may do some good things, but that doesn't prove he's saved. He may do it for various reasons. I give my body to be burned. He said, I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, have not love. A man may do those things and not show salvation. But I tell you this, if God has saved him, he will have good works. The absence of good works is positive proof of the absence of faith. See what I'm saying? And that's what James is declaring here. He's saying faith, if it has not works, is positive proof. Faith that does not have compassion and generosity and love and kindness and gentleness, it does not have that fruit, it's dead. No matter what the reason for performing these things. Look at verse 18. Now this is an interesting, powerful challenge here. Let me read it to you and then comment. Brethren, yea, a man may say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by my works. This is a true believer speaking now. This is a true believer. This is a believer speaking here. And he says to the man who has no works, you have faith. You claim to have faith. You profess to have faith. I say nothing about my faith. The believer says nothing about his faith, but he does say something about the results of his faith, the work of God in his soul. I say nothing about my faith. I make no boast of faith. You know what the centurion, he said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. You won't find the believer walking around bragging on his faith. It's the unbeliever that brags on his faith. It's the religious man. He said, you say you have faith. Now, I have works. What kind of work? Well, I believe God. You believe God. I worship God. You worship God. I support His people, His family, His church. We're family. We show mercy to the weak and to the needy. We set forth, if best we can, an example for other people. These are works. You say you have faith, we have works. Now do this. Show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by my works. You show me your faith without works. Faith without works, show it, show me. I can't see faith. This man says, I have faith. Show me your faith. I can't see your faith. Faith is an inward, hidden principle which cannot be seen of men, cannot be detected of men, except one way. Faith is revealed one way, by its results, by action. We're not doers of the word, we're not hearers of the word, we're doers. And that's what he's saying here. You say you have faith? Well, God has given me a love for Christ, and a love for his people, and a love for his word. I have works. I don't boast of my faith. I don't glory in my faith. God gave it to me. It's a gift of God. God helped my unbelief, but I do believe. Yeah, I'll give you an example. The Apostle Peter had denied his Lord. He had acted very ugly, cowardly. And a little while later, after Lord rose from the tomb, he appeared to the Apostle Peter and to the other disciples. And they ate together and talked, and he revealed himself to them. And he took Peter off to the side. And three times, he looked at Peter, said, do you love me? Do you believe on me? Yea, Lord. Now he said, yea, Lord. Then you feed my sheep. If you love me, you'll feed my sheep. That's proof of your love. That's evidence of your love. That's truth of love. Feed my sheep. You don't feed my sheep, you don't love me. He said that three times. Do you love me? Yea, Lord, you know I love you. Then feed my sheep. And he asked the third time, Lord. The Lord said to him, Peter, do you love me? He said, Lord, Peter was grieved. You know I love you. Feed my sheep. That's the evidence of love. And that's what that fellow's saying. Now, you say you have faith? Show me your faith. That's what they're doing, raising their hands, jumping, throwing songbooks, cutting up, doing all this stuff, you know. They're showing their faith. You show your faith by believing Christ, walking in godliness, sharing what God has given you with others, praying for one another, preaching the gospel, sending the missionaries. That's how you show faith. Prove it. Prove it. If you can't prove it, you don't have it. That's just so. That's what he's saying here. He said, thank God for you. Thank God for your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope, because I know you're one of God's elect. How do you know they're God's elect? Works of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope. Don't have it, you're not one of God's elect. That's so vital, isn't it, vital? Isn't that? That's where we live. I don't hear any of you bragging about your faith. I brag about your works. And that way I know you believe. I know you believe. Here's a strong statement, verse 19. You believe there's one God. You do well. The devil believes and trembles. What's James saying here? It's words. Faith without works is nothing more than the faith of devils, who are forever condemned. A faith that's in word only, that's not demonstrated, lived out, and shown by godliness and good works is the faith of devils. For example, the religious professor, he says he believes in one God. The devil believes in one God. The religious professor says he believes that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. The devil knows he's the Messiah. He doesn't have a doubt in his mind. The religious professor says he believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Satan said this, listen. In Luke 4:34, the demons whom Christ cast out of a man, the demons said, leave us alone. Speaking to Christ, the Lord Jesus. Leave us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Are you come to torment us before our time? Are you come to destroy us? We know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. That's who you are. Thou believest there's one God, one Messiah, one Son of God. That's a pretty good start. But the devil already believes that and trembles. That's more than most religionists. That he does tremble. They don't tremble. Now consider this with me, and I'll come to a close. True faith does not only acknowledge Christ to be God, Messiah, Son of God. True faith believes he's the Son of God. Abraham believed God. He didn't just say it. He believed him. And we're going to see tonight proof of it. His works. So just acknowledging that God is God is not it. It's believing. You put everything you have and everything you are and everything you want and everything you hope to be in that faith. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I'll die for it. Secondly, true faith not only confesses Christ, not only confesses him, but actually, in reality and heart, loves him. More than life, more than children, more than father and mother, more than husband and wife. If any man love not our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. And he that loveth father, mother, husband, wife, brother and sister, son or daughter more than me, he's not worthy of me. Why did Abraham take that only son and sacrifice him? Because he loved God more than he loved that son. Christ. So faith doesn't only confess Christ. Faith loves him. Trust him. Rest in him. And true faith not only sees the glory of Christ, the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. True faith sees that. But true faith rejoices in it. I'm so glad. Rejoices. True faith not only sees that glory, but rejoices in that glory. Just lies down, wallers in it. Glory of God. Never as happy as right now when we're talking about him. Looking to him and have a good hope in him. Knowing to die in Christ is to live forever. We rejoice. That's all right. Some of our loved ones are gone. I rejoice with them. I'm glad. Be glad when I go with them, wouldn't you? All right, here's the fourth thing. True faith not only talks about faith and talks about the doctrine and argues, but true faith walks in grace. Walks in grace. walks in grace. Enoch walked with God, and he was not. God took him. That's what my text says here in Titus, to this congregation, to all whom I love in Christ Jesus. These things I will that you affirm constantly, this day and days to come. You which have believed in God, that you might be careful, very diligent to maintain good works. Because these things are good and profitable unto men.